Lord, give us that bread always. We're in John's Gospel, chapter 6, which is the Eucharistic narrative. John, of the four Gospel writers, is the only one not to record the Last Supper. The Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all give us a version. You put it together, and we have a very complete picture of Holy Thursday night. John, who wrote the Last Gospel, knew that, and instead gave his Eucharistic discourse on what happened at this moment, event, and encounter in Capernaum. It was at the synagogue where our Lord unpacked the doctrine of the real presence. And he begins with food, bread, living bread, real flesh. Simply put, food for the belly leads us to food that comes in a mysterious way, like the manna with Moses in the desert, this cactus sap that multiplied and was able to feed hundreds of thousands. And from that sign, and remember, a sign, according to C.S. Lewis, is not something you see, but something you follow. It leads you somewhere. And of course, we're led here to the real presence of Christ, who says, don't seek only that which feeds your body. Your body will not always be with you, but your soul. Seek the living bread, food for your soul. And they said, Lord, give us that bread. Now, this doesn't really come across clearly in English because there are different words in the Greek. Remember, the New Testament was written in the Greek. The Old Testament was written in Aramaic and Hebrew. And in the Greek, there's different words for life and for the soul. And here our Lord is referring to a rather particular word for life. To give us some idea of the words for life, there's bodily life, there's mental life, and there's spiritual life. Bodily life, the word is bios, that's where we have biology from. The word for the mind is psychos or psyche, that's where we have psychology, the study of mental health. And of course, the word for spiritual life that he refers to that comes from living bread is Zoe, Z-O-E. A spiritual life that begins in this world and takes you unto the next world. Now, the Lord says, I'm going to feed your soul so that you have spiritual life. And they picked up on that and said, give us this food forever. And of course, next week, he introduces how he's going to give us that food. You have to eat it. And it says, you eat my flesh. Within the context of this chapter, he mentions eating 8 times, and 6 times he refers to flesh. You have to eat my flesh. And I think, oh, what's going on here? Eat flesh? We don't eat red meat as Jews with blood in it. And you're saying we should eat, chew upon your flesh? And of course, many didn't like the teaching and walked away. They failed to acknowledge his authority. That he was saying you must feed your soul and have eternal life in you through eating my flesh under the appearance of living bread, the Holy Eucharist. The Catholic Church and the Orthodox Church both teach and have always taught that at the consecration, at the epiclesis, during the Eucharistic prayer, the bread and wine cease to be as they are, and the substance becomes that of the body and blood of Christ, although the appearance remains the same. This is the doctrine of transubstantiation. And only we, them, and us believe in this teaching. All other churches, Christian denominations, hold that Holy Communion is symbolic. Or it's what you make of it. If you want to believe it's the body of Jesus, that's fine for you, but I have my own take on it. They don't hold the teaching that we hold. They dropped it. They discarded this belief, this sacrament, and the priesthood at the Reformation. So always bear that in mind, the Anglican Church, the Uniting Church, the Church of Christ, what they believe and what we have are two different realities. Although they might have Holy Communion service and they might say, I received the body of Jesus, it's not the same. People died for this truth. We ought not to confuse fact with fiction, what people think and what actually happens. What does happen is this reality that we can't see with our human eyes, but in matters of faith, we hold firm to, as did the saints. Today is the memorial of St. John Vianney. A seminary is named after this great parish priest who had a tremendous love for the real presence of Christ. Just to see him praying in the church itself evoked prayer in people. Of course, during the week, we have our own great patroness, our first saint, Mary of the Cross. Mary MacKillop, this extraordinary nun who suffered with the cross from all angles in her life, had two great devotions. One was the Sacred Heart. She'd always refer to the heart of Jesus. Bring your heart and his together. Then she'd explain how. Holy Communion. She taught her nuns how to receive with such devotion. And she would always go into a new convent, be it in Melbourne, out back, up north, New Zealand. She'd always find the church first. Go in, genuflect, and spend time with God, hidden in the real presence in the tabernacle. She had that vision, the presence of Christ is truly there. And often that night they'd go, the sisters looking for her, where is she? She'd be in the church praying, communicating, being in contact with Christ in this tremendous sacrament. It's a sacrament that feeds the soul and prepares the soul for life everlasting. And it's one of the great consolations we Catholics have. Always treasure this belief, study it well, focus on the facts of what the church teaches, not what people think, because they can be wrong, but focus on what the church has taught from day dot to today, that we do have the real presence. The bread and wine cease to be, and the body, blood, soul, and divinity come and are present on our altar. That's why the priest genuflects at the consecration, a sign of adoration to the presence of Christ here before us. Sadly, many Catholics today have lost that reverence for the Blessed Sacrament, as was held by former generations. There's multiple reasons why, but I think for many, if we just become too casual, perhaps we don't know what we're receiving or how or whom. And perhaps it's a good time as we hear this great discourse given by Christ so long ago that we open our hearts, focus again on the facts of our faith, and realise this is a gift and gifts can be lost. Let's treasure this great gift and always thank God that we are able to receive him and commune with him in this great sacrament. To feed your body is one thing which we all enjoy on a daily basis. To feed our soul is a great gift. We should never, ever tire of thanking God. And that's what the word Eucharist means. It's from the Greek, Eucharistein, thanksgiving. So we give thanks to God and we pray that we will never lose this great gift of faith.